Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
The WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Today's show is sponsored by Klondike Kate's Christmas Sleigh Bar. Enjoy Bud Light and Michelob Ultra specials all football season at Klondike. At Klondike Kate's. Joining us now, Jack, give me a break, man. My throat gets a little funny every once in a while. Don't clip that.
Joining us now,
as he does every Thursday at 4 o'clock, the great Mike Mayock. You can hear Mike Mayock every week on the Believe in Eagles podcast with Lee Mayock. Hey, Mike, how you feeling?
I'm good. I imagine it's been a couple pretty good weeks for talk radio, huh?
Well, you know, it's a funny thing, Mike, is like on one hand, it is compelling, right? As a human and a broadcaster, all this stuff is compelling. On the other hand, we are fans of the team. And there are moments where when this stuff happens, you just want to be happy and dissect the game. But there's all this ancillary stuff that, on one hand, is compelling and you want to talk about it, you have to talk about. On the other hand, as a fan, you would just like it if they would shut up for 1 week so you could talk about the football team.
Well, you got the question there, big fella?
No. Wait a minute. It's not like I did it.
I'm just teasing.
Yeah, sure. So let me ask you this. So they have two big wins, right? They beat the Lions and the Packers, big fella. What did you take more out of those two games, how the defense played or how the offense played?
The defense played their asses off, and Vic's got this thing turned in the right way. Jalen Phillips, if you just isolate four or five clips from last week, maybe one the biggest play in the game on defense and fourth and goal from the four, and what he did to Penei Sewell, probably the best tackle in football, if you haven't seen it, it's a great clip. And it puts together everything that he has. That he's long, he's strong, he's powerful, he's twitchy, but he can bend to the quarterback. It was watching them play defense. I feel like Phillips is the big piss, the big piece they were missing. And I think Vic Fangio knows what to do now with the bottom line offensively. And I got frustrated last week after the Green Bay game because I felt like coming off New York and Minnesota and a bye week, they would continue with their offensive momentum. And I felt like they took a step back. This week, I was also highly frustrated by the offense.
Yeah, I'm gonna stay on that defense side a little bit, Mike, because I think the emergence of Jalen Carter over the last couple of weeks, man, he seems, you know, we didn't get a whole lot from him the first month or so of the season. I don't know if he was trying to get in shape, that shoulder, you know, Vic had talked about his conditioning, but over the last 2 or 3 weeks, his presence has certainly been felt. And I'm wondering how much of having Jalen Phillips on that offensive line drawing attention is now also helping Jalen Carter do what he's doing in the inside.
You know, I think it's one of those symbiotic things. I mean, on the sack that Jalen Phillips got, he actually had the wide receiver, Amon-Ra St. Brown, right on his outside shoulder and thought he was going to get chipped. Mm-hmm. So he kind of took a step towards him and shrugged him off. The right tackle, Penei Sewell, assumed he wasn't coming and double-teamed down on Jalen Carter, gave him a big hit. And that gave Jalen Phillips a free run at the quarterback. Nobody touched him. Yeah. And I think my point is it's going to happen for both of them throughout the season. Jalen Carter played 90% of the snaps again. To your point, he was working through a bunch of stuff early. There's a noticeable difference in the tape, and it's both consistency, you know, that the numbers are going to be whatever the numbers are, but he's a superior player. His club rip move, his club move is as good as anybody I've seen since maybe Reggie White. It's just that powerful. And the two of them on the same side together is an awful lot for an offense to deal with.
We often judge cornerbacks with interceptions as a fan. Like that to the naked eye, that's how we look at them. You know, sometimes batted balls and things of that nature. But sometimes Quinyon Mitchell's play can sort of go unnoticed. It certainly seems like it isn't going unnoticed. How good is Quinyon Mitchell right now? Is he right there with Patrick Surtain as is the top corners in the league?
Yeah, I think he's in the top three, and you can kind of have a conversation about three or four different guys, but he's in that conversation. He's in year two. I don't see a real major issue in his game. I mean, some of those, quote, cover corners don't want to tackle. He knows when he has to. Doesn't mean he's going to be the most physical guy every snap, but when he has to make a tackle, he makes it.
Yeah.
And as long as he continues – the consistency in the run game, as far as the pass game, what I love about him is he can play press, he can play off, he can play man, he can play zone. Some guys are better at one than the other, but the Eagles happen to get a guy that I think does everything at a high level.
I don't have any questions. I just deal with the controversy. I don't know if you want to ask about the offense or why Mike was frustrated watching them. I don't know.
Go ahead, Spike.
Why?
Go ahead.
You mentioned you were frustrating watching the offense. Why were you what specifically frustrated you?
Well, I mean, to your credit, Spike, we're about 6 minutes into this and you haven't even asked me about number 11. So I'm pretty impressed there.
Well, Mike, what do you want me to do? Right? I'm being serious here, right? So A.J. Brown spends weeks complaining about the passing offense. Then two, I think, reporters that we all have respect for, Diana Russini and A.J. Brown, and Derek Gunn, report that there's frustration from multiple players within the organization and coaches about how the quarterback is playing. So I guess my question to you is, if you were me, would you find that to be interesting? Would you find that to be something that you would want to talk about or no?
Well, I mean, here's the way I'm going to deal with that.
Yep.
Okay, because I can't vouch for being you.
Sure.
Here's how I'm going to look at this. Something's off. It feels like something's off. I'm not in the building. And I hate anonymous sources, maybe more than just about anything in sports. And that's what we have. And I like D Gunn. I worked with him years ago. He's a good dude and a respected dude. But at a certain point, this whole anonymous thing is hard to deal with. And that's why I like what Brandon Graham said the other day. And that's another reason it's good that he's back in that locker room. And he basically went through that whole heavy is the crown thing. And what I think he was trying to say publicly so that every teammate heard it was, fellas, this is about individual accountability and getting back to a Super Bowl and trying to win another one. That's what this is all about. And I love that because that's what it is all about. So what basically I'm going to do this week is I'm going to give you an overview by position of what the Eagles did on tape last week. And I think you'll see a tie-in to what's going on. And then we can go wherever you want, okay? And I'm going to be very honest on this tape evaluation, okay?
Yep.
So, quarterback position. Inconsistent ball placement in the first half. He missed Barkley on a double move versus a linebacker in the second half that should have been a touchdown. Inconsistent performance throughout. Wideouts. A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. A.J., between the two of them, they created little to no separation all night long versus cover one, man-to-man, two corners with no help. A.J. Brown had a goal line slant, 3rd and 8 on the 8-yard line in the first half, could not win versus press. Jalen complicated it by a bad throw. Several fades all night long, zero separation. He even stopped running on one of them, which I don't even want to talk about. Number 6, Devontae Smith, 1 reception, 8 yards, 5 targets. Little to no separation all night long. Detroit's corners Can anybody tell me who the Detroit corners are?
At this point, no.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Amik Robertson, who we drafted with the Raiders in the fourth round, and he's 5'8.5", and Rock Yassin, who played at Temple. Both of them are quick, sticky, tough kids, but will never be in a Pro Bowl. Okay? They handled the Eagles' Pro Bowl receivers last weekend with little to no help. Little to no separation. Neither wideout could win all night long. Offensive line. Despite injuries, I thought the pass pro was more consistent. Maybe has something to do with the play action and the six offensive linemen. One sack, for the most part, I thought the quarterback had a clean pocket. Run game, it just seems like there's one or two guys per play where you just say, man, if he could have just covered him for a little bit longer. They got the tailback to the second level several times. They're getting close on big plays, but they got to start hitting big plays in the run game. Tight ends, two drops. Below average blocking game. It's hard to be a tight end and block in the NFL. And the Eagles ask a lot of their tight ends in 12 and 13 personnel. But still, if you want to dig out some of these backers and people, you've got to have better play from the tight end. And finally, Coach Sirianni, 4th-and-1, minus 29-yard line with 3 minutes left in the game, up 10.
That was crazy.
I mean, I think I figured out now that basically if Nick can close out a game with his offense on the field, he's going to do it. But I think for the good of the team, he's got to just kind of reconsider some of his thought process. Up 10 at that point, that's a punt 100% of the time. 9 penalties, way too many. So that's my overview, and I guess what I'm trying to say is I love what Brandon Graham said, and I think all these people playing all these positions have to take their own accountability before they start shooting their mouth off inside or outside the building. Yep.
Is the wide receivers not being able to beat those guys one-on-one an effort issue?
There was really only the one snap where I felt like there was an effort issue. And those things are hard. You know, that one snap I already mentioned on the fade.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
But at the end of the day, I'm telling you, I mean, I drafted Amik, and Amik is a quick, tough kid, but he got in both of them. He wasn't afraid. He challenged both of them at the line of scrimmage, as did Rock Yassin. So both of them were challenged both on and off the line of scrimmage, and neither of them can create separation. And all I'm saying is I can't tell you why, but it's got to get better than that.
Well, they certainly have an opportunity on Sunday because the Dallas defense hasn't done a very good job of stopping anybody this year. We keep waiting for a get-right game. You would hope against a team like that would probably put up more points than the 7-9 that they faced over the last couple of weeks, that they're going to have to score more points on Sunday than they scored in those two games.
You're talking about Dallas?
Yes.
Offense?
Yep.
Uh-huh. They're going to get challenged with an interior run game with a center and two guards. They're big and powerful, so it'll be fun to watch against the Eagles' defensive tackles and linebackers. Javonte Williams is having his best season since he was a rookie. Looks like he did. You know, he's over all those injuries. And then you got to deal with the two big-time wideouts who, again, had a huge night last week and caused problems on a weekly basis. And I think the other thing, Spike, is defensively, as bad as they've been all year, you know, the Eagles didn't go crazy on them week one. And in the last 10 days, they've gotten healthy, they've made trades, and they've gotten better in all three levels. So they're going to be a better defense than the one they saw the first time around.
Mm-hmm. All right, Mike.
Yeah, I expect this game to be a tight one Sunday. I do.
Hey, Ike, what did you think of the tape overview? Did you agree or disagree?
Oh, I agree with everything. You know, listen, we've talked about several of those things this week. I think it's better when someone like yourself with the credibility has that to share with us, so it's not just us. But yeah, I agree with all that, Mike. I thought the receivers weren't necessarily great. Jalen up and down. Offensive line, we're not doing a great job in the run blocking game. Yeah, and the tight ends. Hey, let me ask you this, Mike, because I saw someone brought this up that Graham Calcaterra was out there for 35 snaps, and then I think on 33 of those snaps, it was a run play. Like, he's not a good run-blocking tight end. Why are the Eagles using him in heavy run formations?
I think they've realized that with the banged-up offensive line, they want to be stubborn about trying to run the ball.
Yeah.
And to be able to do that, you know, Latu is getting some run, both as a fullback and as a kind of a tight end wing. I think they're trying not to beat up Dallas Goedert inside as a blocker.
Okay.
So that gives Granson and Calcaterra the majority, the 81 and 83, are getting the majority of the heavy work inside in the run game.
Yeah. I mean, even all the way down to the Nick Sirianni going for it on fourth down. Come on, man. You can't. That's up two scores and defense playing the way that you're playing. That's one of those where that could have cost us. I mean, that certainly could have cost us.
Well, you got a lucky DPI at the end of the game.
Yep.
You know, other than that, they're going to get the ball back. So, anyway, it's you want to win a Super Bowl. There's some things that have to happen, and I think the offense has to you can't just sit here and say defense is going to be the Steelers from the 70s or you know, the Bears from 1985. It's just the offense has got to do their part too.
Yep.
All right, Mike. We will talk to you next week, same time. Appreciate it, brother.
Appreciate it, brother.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Yep.
All right. A couple things. The first thing is, if Mike doesn't want to be asked about his perspective as a general manager in when there is chaos within an organization, which is what we asked him last time about the AJ thing, mm-hmm. we don't have to ask him about it. I find it interesting, given his history of working within organizations, about how he would handle it and his perspective.
Yeah.
If he doesn't want to be asked about that, and we just have to ask him about tape, mm-hmm. I am happy to ask him about tape, right? Like, I don't ask Baldy about his perspective as a general manager because mm-hmm. he wasn't.
Right.
I don't ask Shield because he wasn't. I don't ask Donovan because he wasn't. I ask Mike because he was, and I find it interesting, and I find his insight in that to be compelling.
Yeah.
The second thing is, like, if you now, I don't know this for sure, but there's no, most general managers, most agents have at times been an anonymous source. If we want every single piece of information that is shared in the media, whether it be sports or politics or business, to be sourced, then the information won't come out. Now, I said several times that I thought that the information that was leaked from the Eagles this week was a bad look for the Philadelphia Eagles. But to say that every reporter has to name their source is just, like, ignorance, the wrong word. It's not how it works. It's not how reporters get information. It just isn't. Because sometimes you need to protect your source to get the information.
Mm-hmm.
So to say that Derek Gunn, or he didn't specifically say this, to say that Derek Gunn or Diana Rossini shouldn't go with information that isn't name sourced is not how it works. It's never been how it works. And I can promise you that the Philadelphia Eagles have been anonymous sources to their other teams' detriments, to their benefit mm-hmm. over the years, mm-hmm. whether it's Howie or a player or a coach, they want to shape the narrative as much as anybody else does, and they use anonymous sources in the exact same way. Mm-hmm. And the final thing I'll say is that if Mike thinks that I don't talk about exactly the stuff we talked about, the Nick Sirianni decision, the A.J. Brown effort on the bomb, the great play of the defense, we talked about
all those things.
All those things.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I am not some center of Eagles rumors. I don't get
any
rumors.
Seems like you're starting to, you know, get that reputation.
Well, I don't get any rumors. None of them come from me.
No.
I don't say any of that stuff. All I do is talk about it.
Yeah.
If Mike is offended by that, then he, like, I love Mike. I think he gives great insight. But, like, I am personally, just being honest, I think it's funny. But I am, when he says it, I think it's funny. But I don't think he's joking. So, like, I am personally kind of offended that a topic that is discussed by every radio host, every TV analyst, is that every beat reporter asks these players about is somehow put on me because I talk about it. It's like, I just think it's crazy. I think his attitude toward that stuff is crazy.
I would say this. Don't be offended. But you have the right to be offended if you are. I would say I don't think he's trying to be offensive towards you. You know, Mike, I think he's more about the nuts and bolts of the game.
Sure.
He likes to break the game down, and his tolerance for the other stuff, he just doesn't have the tolerance for it. You're right. As a front office person, yes, he certainly knows that this stuff happens, but he's not.
And I didn't even ask him about it. That's the other thing.
I know.
I asked him about the offense or the defense, and he brought it up.
He initiated it. Yep.
Well, what am I, like, I can't win.
Yep.
I know.
Shut up.
I know.
You love me in there. I didn't even bring it up to him. You know what
I said? That's what makes it funny.
I said to myself, and I have my list of questions, which I'm happy to post. My very first question: what did you take out of the two wins more? The way the defense played or the
release
way the
offense
files.
Played?
Do not release the fouls. Yes, this is. Listen, we've had a couple of weeks here where things have gotten a little off track, and
I'm not doing anything wrong.
I didn't say you're doing anything wrong, but it's still a relationship that is, you know what I'm saying? Like there's been a tense moment or two, and sometimes you don't know if that's gone or it's not. Not from you, from you. But I'm just saying, on our end, we can laugh it off a little bit more.
Yes.
We can laugh it off a little bit more.
That's why
I said don't be offended.
I'm at the end of it, I'm not going home crying about it or anything, but like, you know, he yelled at me the 6 weeks ago because it was too early to worry about the offense. It's friggin' November 20th. The offense still sucks on ice.
Now's not too early.
Maybe it's not too early. I don't know. You're not good at running. You're not good at passing. Your head coach is making idiotic punting decisions. Maybe it's worth bringing up.
Listen, you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Pull it together.
Well, he makes me even more mad because he's over there laughing at it.
Stop throwing fuel on stuff.
I didn't throw fuel on anything.
No, we this is the insider part of this show right now. I'm trying to make sure he stays calm and through all of this.
I'm
just saying. Because Mike has a short short fuse too now. So.
He hit me with a big boy? Are you serious?
Yeah. Big fella.
Big fella? I hit him right back with a big fella.
I can tell.
Yeah. Today's show is sponsored by Klondike Kate's Christmas Sleigh Bar. Enjoy the pop-up Christmas Sleigh Bar at Klondike Kate's now through December. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.